Country Club FM.
Friday Almanac. Allie's here today.
I'm here.
What are you laughing at?
Well, there was a couple of sound makers over there.
Well, I like to just throw stuff right in the drawer. We got the sound maker drawer here.
I love it.
This stuff is rugged. There's no sense just doing it politely and gently.
No. Whoa.
Rugged. There's no danger of anything getting broken or injured. There's no injuries.
Perfect.
Involved. Today, Bob Almanac with Allie in tow.
I'm excited for this one.
You are? Why?
I don't know. I like my people.
Your people. And of course, that list, the Gons But Not Forgotten, is provided to you by Neil's staff.
Okay.
So if there are any omissions, it's his staff's fault.
I'll blame them.
Friday, December 1st, 335th day of the year. Happy December, everybody. This was the date. Things changed this date. History changed. The way we built things and sold things and manufactured things changed because the Ford Motor Company instituted the world's first moving assembly line.
Mm.
Genius at Hank Ford.
Wow.
They're building Model Ts, they're building cars, and they go, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way. And so they came up with the moving assembly line, and those cars just started flying out of the factory. And they sold millions of the Model Ts.
Mm-hmm.
They just couldn't build them fast enough, really. 1913. Allie, your thoughts on the assembly line? You ever worked on an assembly line?
Not yet.
Not yet?
Oh, not yet.
Is that one of your goals?
Hey, everybody should maybe once,
yes,
right?
Just to get the feel for it.
Right.
1922, first time we've ever had skywriting over the U.S.
Skywriting?
Yeah.
And like the plane?
Yeah. And it's not the Wicked Witch. Who was, what did she skywrite in Oz? Dorothy, right? I'm coming to you.
Yeah.
Look out, Dorothy.
I think she just yelled it.
You better cover your exposed areas. I'm coming for you. So, we're talking about the neck. If the Wicked Witch is going to come after you, you know, she's going to go for the neck.
Okay.
It's like a pit bull.
It's like a vampire or what?
Yeah, that too.
Okay.
So, the first skywriting ever over the U.S., Captain Turner from the Royal Air Force.
What did it say?
Was over here. It said, hello, USA.
Oh.
It wasn't even a commercial message. It wasn't a threat. It wasn't directed towards Dorothy of Kansas.
Just a nice greeting.
Just a nice greeting. This date, 1922. 1941, Japanese Emperor Hirohito signed a declaration of war against the U.S., the United Kingdom, and they had something, I don't know what the Japanese had against the Netherlands or the Dutch.
Who would?
Were they anti-wood shoes? Maybe.
Possibly. Or tulips.
Because, well, you know what? Because in Japanese households, you always had to take your shoes off at the door.
Fair.
That's part of their culture. And the wood shoes were harder to store. That had to be it. So I think they ended up burning them, and then you had soot everywhere. So that's probably what happened there.
Could be.
But he signed a declaration of war, and I guess that the word didn't get to the West. And if it did, it fell on deaf ears. Because December 7th is, of course, then a few days later, Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Today's December 1st and December 7th. So the Japanese had pretty much signed, sealed, and delivered their intentions.
Definitely sending a message.
So I'm assuming he signed it here, and then it didn't become public or well-known, or it wasn't delivered to the parties.
Right.
Is that safe to assume here?
They didn't have internet.
They did not have internet. Now those declarations would be on X.
Exactly.
And they wouldn't be a tweet. They would, you know what X is, right? It's X.
I do know what X is.
It used to be Twitter. And now you don't tweet, you excrete.
Oh.
And it's an excretion.
They needed you in his most recent interview. They were wondering what to call a tweet now.
Oh, they did? Oh,
yes.
Really? With Elon
Musk?
By him,
I mean Elon Musk. Correct.
Well, give me $1 billion and he can use it.
Yeah.
He's got it,
He's
right?
He's got it in his back pocket.
Although he might lose his shirt over that Cybertruck. That thing is ugly.
You think?
Yeah.
Well,
why? Do you like it?
I don't know. I just find his inventions pretty clever.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's on a different
I'm
level.
I'm not going to criticize.
He's on a different level on a lot of things.
That's true.
So that was 41. 1955 here this day. Pretty significant event in history.
December 1st, 1955. On that day, Rosa Parks boarded a bus and took a seat. A few stops later, she was told to give her seat to a white passenger who had just boarded. She refused. For those who insist that a moment be pinpointed when the American Revolution of 63 began, that moment will serve.
So, civil rights movement began. I could have probably done without the piano there. It kind of drowned out the guy.
It was very moving.
It was very moving. Rosa Parks, who was a seamstress, arrested on this date in Montgomery, Alabama, on the bus. Police took her into custody. She refused to give up her seat in the front of the bus to a white man. And, of course, that sparked a year-long boycott of the buses by blacks. U.S. Supreme Court eventually ruled that segregation on city buses was unconstitutional, struck down the law, and thus began the civil rights movement. And that was and has been, continues to be battled right up from that point.
True.
60s was tumultuous for that with Martin Luther King Jr., but it all started this date on a bus. 1955. How about 71, the holidays?
So this is Christmas. And what have you done?
Got a couple of Christmas song related tidbits here today, including this one. John Lennon released Happy Christmas.
You won't just be gone.
In parentheses, war is over.
Do you like this one?
And so this is Christmas.
Yeah, you know, I think I like this better than Paul McCartney's Happy Christmas Time, or whatever his
I do, too. I can't stand that one.
Wonderful Christmas Time. That's a wonderful. But I don't hate Wonderful Christmas Time.
Oh, I kind of
like some
do.
People do.
I do, kind of.
A very Merry Christmas.
There's Yoko.
This is Yoko's best singing that she's ever done.
No question.
But is she alone here, or are these kids singing with her?
They're helping her a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, they are helping. And Yoko does need help, let's be honest, when it comes to singing.
She did. Does?
Yeah, she's still with us.
Is she? Okay.
Yeah. So that song was released as a single by John Lennon and Yoko Ono and some kids. 1971. 77.
Our finest gifts we bring. Rum-pa-pum-pum.
Oh, yeah.
Rum-pa-pum-pum.
Quite the duet.
David Bowie and...
Yeah.
Bing Crosby.
Peace on earth. Can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see.
It was on Bing Crosby's last Christmas special that he would ever do. He had David Bowie on as a guest, and they did that kind of medley. They started out with Little Drummer Boy, and then he broke into Peace on Earth.
Just genius, really.
Bing Crosby continued along with Little Drummer Boy.
Yeah.
And,
the whole idea.
It was a great idea.
It really was.
Is that, you call that a mashup when you put two together like that?
Now you do.
Yeah.
They were ahead of their times.
They were ahead of their time.
Bing.
1977, this date. What do you think of Bing?
I love Bing. White Christmas is one of my favorite holiday movies. And the holiday. Isn't he in The Holiday and White Christmas?
Yeah.
I like them both, but White Christmas especially.
Hard to beat.
Oh,
it, exactly.
I just love it.
Also hard to beat this movie.
Oh, you don't mind if I ask around a little bit, do you?
Don't do a damn thing. Stay out of this.
You know, this is the cleanest and nicest police car I've ever been in my life. This thing's nice in my apartment.
And I just got off the phone with Inspector Todd in Detroit. He says if you're out here investigating the Tandino murder...
How you doing?
You needn't bother coming back.
Beverly Hills Cop and
yes.
Sergeant Bogomil and Roseweed and Taggart and
of Neutron course, Dance.
Axel Foley and the Pointer Sisters all combined for Beverly Hills Cop. It premiered on this date in Los Angeles in 1984. The second one is pretty good, too. I don't know if I've seen three.
I got to revisit the first one. It's been forever.
It is. You get the first one and the second one. Sometimes I mix them. Now, which one was had the Playboy bunnies and Chris Rock parking the cement truck? Which one was that? Was that the first one or the second one?
Oh, my gosh.
They are really good.
Yes.
The first one debuted on this date in 84, in the news in 89.
Well, the highlight of Mr. Gorbachev's visit to Italy, without question, was his visit to the Pope. The first time ever that the leader of the Soviet Union had met with the leader of the Roman Catholic Church, and a son of Poland at that. It goes to show, said someone, that in this day and age, few things remain inconceivable for long.
Mikhail Gorbachev, it was glasnost. It was the new openness in the Soviet Union, and he went and met the Pope. Pope John Paul II goes to the Vatican. The real reason he wanted to go there, because he wanted a Pope to look at that birthmark on his head to see if it looked like the Virgin Mary.
Or Jesus.
Hey, Pope. Or, yeah. But, you know, you see the Virgin Mary on toast.
I think Jesus too.
And yeah, you're right. There are other visions that they have seen, and Mikhail Gorbachev was hoping that he could cash in on the birthmark on his
that's
head.
That's a good one.
1989. Okay. 1997, here's Kenny G. It must be one of your heroes, right, Kenny G?
Of course.
But what the process is, you take the air, put it in your cheeks, make that lovely sound into the saxophone, which actually sustains a note, and while you do that, you breathe in your nose. So you're essentially turning your mouth area into a bagpipe.
Your soundbite is hilarious.
But anyway, this
it's
where's the song?
Well, there's no song. It's just one note. He's describing circular breathing.
Okay.
Do you know that? Do you use that? Is that even possible to be used when singing?
That sound he made, no.
I mean, I can make that sound. I'm as good as Kenny G.
Right. Okay.
So Kenny G set a record. He held a note on his saxophone for 45 minutes and 47 seconds.
No, he did not.
He sure did, because of circular breathing. And he's a genius.
Wow.
He basically, see, he just said it right there. You turn your mouth into a bagpipe, where you fill your cheeks through your nose, and then you continually blow through the woodwind instrument.
Know all about woodwind instruments.
I've never played a woodwind.
That's
no,
brass.
I was French horn.
That's right.
And I don't even know that much about playing that.
Okay.
Define playing. when you only play half the notes during your career, is that considered playing?
I think it counts.
I hit the low notes. 45 minutes out of his saxophone, same note the whole time. That would be good torture.
That's what I was thinking.
Guantanamo Bay detainees. Yeah, forget about waterboarding. Let's bring Kenny G in here with his saxophone for 45 minutes and 47 seconds and listen to this one note constantly. And you'll be giving us the location of Osama bin
Tapping
Laden.
Tapping out. Here. That's right.
That would have been a good thing. But 1997, Kenny G was in the news. And also, speaking of news, this man was the news.
And it is in that spirit that I say thanks for all that I have learned from you. That's been my richest reward. That's nightly news for this Wednesday night. I'm Tom Brokaw. You'll see Brian Williams here tomorrow night, and I'll see you along the way.
Yeah, Brian Williams will be there the next night making up stories that Tom Brokaw was his long-lost uncle. So Tom Brokaw said good night on the NBC Nightly News. He had done it for more than 20 years on NBC Nightly News.
He sounded sad.
That was a stage. Yeah, it was sad. I'm sure those guys, it's hard to give up that paycheck.
For sure.
And the prestige of being the Nightly News, no matter what network it's on. Tom Brokaw stepping away, 2004. We have birthdays now today. The golfer, they call him the Merry Mex, Lee Trevino.
Well, there's a reason why you miss your putts. One could be lack of concentration. Two, you're probably waiting for your buddies to say, that's good, pick it up. And chances are, they're never going to say that.
No, they aren't. In fact, we golf with a guy every now and then. We, you know, they're gimmies.
Yeah.
Right? When you get close, that's a gimme.
Okay.
He does takeies. He just takes it. And he doesn't even let us say that it's good. It's a takey instead of a gimme. So, good for that. And then, we secretly add a couple of strokes to his score. He's pretty dumb.
He should.
So he's not really paying attention for his takeies. But Lee Trevino, the Merry Mex, 6 major championships. What a character. He came here for the senior tour event for many years and was just a joy and a treat. And he's the one guy brave enough to say that he was sponsored by Top Flight on tour. Nobody else would wear a Top Flight hat other than Lee Trevino. And just for that, he's a hero. Really. Lee Trevino, 84 today.
Seasons don't fear the reaper.
Oh, wait.
Nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. We can be like they are. Come on, baby. Don't
be more
comfortable. Baby, take my hand. Don't fear the reaper. We'll be able to fly.
That's your form.
Oyster Cult, Don't Fear the Reaper, one of the lead singers of Blue Oyster Cult, Eric Bloom, one of the founding... Oh, he wasn't a founding member. He came in later and then sang on a number of their hits, co-lead vocalist, did some guitar, synthesizer. Eric Bloom is 79 here today.
When the night has been
a beautiful song.
Gorgeous. This is my first solo ever.
At age what?
Gosh, I think I was 5 or 6.
Oh my goodness. Do you have a recording of it?
No, and if I did, I wouldn't tell you.
So Conway Twitty had a pretty good version of that.
Yeah, I love Conway.
Yeah. Bette Midler, 78.
What happened to Bette Midler?
Oh, she got hurt.
No, Bette Midler.
That's how you pronounce it now, Bette Midler. Bette Midler is 78 today.
May as well go on, cause I did on my own, alone again.
77, one of the sadder songs ever to grace the number one spot on the Billboard 100. Gilbert O'Sullivan. Looking forward to alone again, naturally. 77 today, little Ricky.
Well, now, how do you feel, honey?
Fine, Mommy.
Look how calm he is.
Sure, perfectly relaxed.
That's kids for you.
You're not nervous, are you, honey?
No.
But he's not a bit nervous.
We knew you wouldn't be.
Mommy.
What, honey?
What's nervous?
Nervous? Well, that's when you get stage fright, like when you're playing drums in front of a lot of strangers.
Little Ricky was about to go out and play some drums, just like his daddy, oh, Lucy. So the actor that played Little Ricky, Richard Keith, born this day, 1950. I think he's still alive. I put him in the living category. Okay. I don't think he's passed. You can look that up if you want. If you need to, but Richard Keith, little Ricky here today, believe it or not, is 73.
I'll talk about who I want and when I want. What I do is my own business.
Well, spoken like real Ewing. But you better practice up on your tall tales. That little studying excuse is wearing thin.
When it comes to lying, I'm sure you're the expert. I saw you at dinner last night. Just when did Kristen become part of the oil cartel?
Good point there, Lucy. Charlene Tilton, one of the Ewings. She and JR getting after it there.
JR is going to get a couple mentions today.
Charlene Tilton, who was married at one point to Johnny Lee, country singer.
Yeah.
Wookin' Pinub. Charlene Tilton, 65. And one more from Little House.
It's right here at the top. The joke of Walnut Grove. The whole town is laughing over the fact that Charles Ingalls' young house guest, Albert No Name, calls Charles Pa.
Albert No Name.
Albert No Name.
Happy birthday to Albert No Name here today. 57 for Matthew Laborteaux, who was Albert Ingalls on Little House on the Prairie. And now, provided by Neil Staff, here's Allie, Gone But Not Forgotten.
Yes, these folks are all gone but not forgotten. Let's start with a gal that was born on this day in 1761. French wax, I guess, sculptor, correct?
Yeah.
Marie Tussaud was born on this day.
I like to call her Marie, Madame Tussaud.
Oh, yeah. Is it Tussaud?
Madame Tussaud.
I knew that was a setup.
The wax
museum. I don't speak French.
The wax. No, and you shouldn't. We should pronounce it like Americans.
Tussaud.
Tussaud.
Tussaud. I thought that felt
Tussaud
a little wrong.
Tussaud or not Tussaud is what we...
Please tell me you didn't record that. Oh, my word.
It will be on the archive.
Anyway, we all know who she is, right? And she's got a million wax museums all over the place. Not just the one that started in London.
No.
They're
all
over.
Do you have a wax figure of you out there somewhere?
Thank God, no.
No, good.
But yeah, they're all over, Vegas. Have you ever been to one?
Yes. Well, there's ones like at the Ripley, or those places like... in Vegas,
right.
or what's the place in Wisconsin? Wisconsin Dells.
Yeah.
Branson has those kind of things.
They do.
Wax museums.
Here's what I found fascinating about her. She was born in 1761. She lived until she was 88. That's pretty uncommon.
That's good for her. Well, you
wax
yourself up. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Moving on. Let's see if I can pronounce this gal's name. Actress Mary Martin.
Look at me way up high. Suddenly, here am I. I'm flying.
Flying,
I can soar, I can weave, and what's more, I'm
quite a stage actress and singer.
Yes, that's where she was Peter Pan, correct?
Everything she was in. And I believe we're going to get the Larry Hagman reference here.
Yes, that's right. She was also the mother of Larry Hagman, J.R. She was born on this day in 1913. Quite a beauty.
All right.
All right, born on this day in 1929, boy, oh boy, is actor David Doyle, best known as Bosley.
Bosley, are you upset with us?
No, no, I'm not upset with you. Of course not. I mean, you're my family. I'd do anything for you. It's just that I am upset because you find me so predictable.
Be predictable, Bosley. Here, let me throw you a number at you. Okay. For 371. Oh, for 371. That's the number of times that Bosley asked one of the angels out for a date.
Aww.
And the number of times they accepted.
Which angel was your favorite?
I'm going to go Kate Jackson.
Oh, Sabrina. That's a good one.
Sabrina.
She was steady.
She was there, I think, longer than either Cheryl Ladd or Farrah Fawcett or Jacqueline Smith. I think she was longer tenured. So
I don't know. It says here what my resources are telling me that Doyle and Jacqueline Smith were the only actors to appear in every episode of the show.
Oh, well, then there you go.
There you go.
I guess Jacqueline did say, well, you know, she had to make money because she wasn't making money on those Kmart clothes.
Not yet.
So she had to stay on there.
All right. Also born on this day in 1933, bass baritone crooner Lou Rawls.
Someone who loves you.
You know what, Dad? I've been putting up with your craziness my whole life. You have ruined relationships for me, cost me jobs. You even spent my college tuition on buying the rights to the Lou Rawls story.
That story needs to be told, and it will be.
Well done.
You'll never find.
Yeah, he's a three-time Grammy Award winner.
Great voice.
Such a great voice. All right, and you know I did a deep dive on this guy. He was born on this day in 1940. Comedian Richard Pryor.
You did a deep dive? That never happens on that side of the studio.
I did.
That's right. That's right. We're bad. That's right. That's right. Darn right.
Is that the end?
That's the end, yes.
That's all you can play probably of him because he tends to have some language. Well, you know, he's known, regarded as one of the greatest and most important stand-up comedians of all time, honestly. He was a big deal when I was a kid, but I couldn't watch a lot of his specials because of his language. But, he's got quite a story, even from the time he was a child up until when he passed away. And, you know, he was diagnosed with MS later in his life, but did some great things for comedians all around. Seinfeld talks about him as one of the pioneers. And
had some issue with fire.
He did. Jeez, right? Oh, my gosh. From freebasing.
That's right.
I don't know. Well, these folks are all... Are we ready?
Yeah, they're all gone.
Gone, but not forgotten.
Neil Staff did forget one.
Me and Mrs. Jones.
Billy Paul. And this huge one-hit wonder from the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
They got a thing going on.
Can't miss this one.
He was born this day, 1935, died 2016. Billy Paul. His real name was Paul Williams, which would have been confusing to the other guy that was the big singer-songwriter. Not big. Big as far as career, but in stature, he was barely 4 foot, the other Paul Williams. Billy Paul, 1934, now gone.
But not forgotten.
Okay. Would you like to stand? We do have Brandon Backstrom coming in with us here this hour, broadcasting live from Scooter's Coffee in Chisago City. I think Brandon's already into his fourth coffee, so he should be wired.
Perfect.
He's going to be more giddy and wired up than you today.
That's
Allie.
Crazy.
Yeah. Trisha Yearwood, she's in love with the boy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make it tough on you.
Okay.
Leanne Rimes, One Way Ticket.
Ah.
Or Lone Star, Mr. Mom.
Hmm. Definitely Trisha Yearwood.
Please. Here we go. Thank you.
W2PM, Princeton, WLKX, Forest Lake, KDB.